I think for us now, this hour, I wanted to talk a little bit about Teshuvah, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkot, which is coming now. And then when they come, I thought of addressing two topics. One is Simcha, happiness, and the other one was one topic that Rabbi Nachman said, out of all the things he taught in his life, this is the most important, about being able to see the good in every person and being able to see the good in yourself. Very, very special teaching.
That's going to be for the group.
Exactly.
Simcha in that.
Exactly. Okay. You think it's okay?
I like it.
Great,
perfect.
Great, great.
So, Teshuvah, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, and Sukkot.
Exactly. There are two basic qualities in our relationship with Hashem. Yirah and Ahava. Yirah means fear. Yirah also means respect. Ahava means love. These are two major, both important, both necessary. In Yirah, there are two...
Two qualities.
Qualities, characteristics. A person who's respectful or a person who's disrespectful, chas v'shalom. A person who loves, a person who hates, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. Two qualities of our relationship with
Hashem. And not only with Hashem, also with people. With people. When the Torah defines the mitzvah of parents and children, there are two parts to it. There's ish imo ve'aviv tira'u. Each person is supposed to fear and respect their father and mother. There's another mitzvah, kabed et avicha v'timecha. And the Torah says, yir'ah means never to disagree with a parent in an open way. If a child ever thinks that a parent is saying something wrong and proper, to say, of course I hear what you're saying and I respect it, but didn't you possibly once teach me differently? You can never say, you're wrong, I disagree with you. Those words can't come out of a child to a parent. That option isn't available. That's part of the yirah. A child is not allowed to sit in the parent's chair. There's a whole list of requirements on the yirah side, and there's a whole list of requirements on kabed, kavod. Kavod, bring him a drink, bring him his slippers. Any kind of way that you can honor him or serve him, that kind of thing. So these are in our relationship with Hashem and in our relationship with people in general. And Torah, in a synagogue, when I walk into a synagogue, to remember, this is not my living room, this is not my bedroom. A different mindset completely when I come into a synagogue. There are certain things that I could talk about at home, in my house, that I can't talk about in a synagogue. Am I going to talk business? No. I have the Hechal, the Aron Kodesh. No. If I want to talk business, we'll go outside. Certain things that I wouldn't do or say, I would never raise my voice. You try not to raise your voice anywhere. But in a synagogue where the Shekhinah Hashem is, extra careful, that kind of thing. In Yir'ah, there are two types, again, two levels. One is called Yir'at Ha'onesh, fear of punishment.
Okay.
The Torah says, this sin, the penalty is 39 lashes. This sin, the penalty is, you have to pay double. A person steals, he's got to give back double. This sin, it's a death penalty, and there's four different levels of death penalty, right? Well, that's called Yir'at Ha'onesh, fear of punishment. And then there's something called Yir'at Haromemut, a fear and respect that comes out of awe. Awe. If I'm standing in front of a very tall building, I'm sure in Mexico you have tall, in New York you have the Empire State Building, a person stands in front of it and looks up and says, wow, look how big that is, look how huge that is. Or a person is in Switzerland, they're looking at the mountains, and they say, Marabu Masech Hashem, wow, look how big Hashem is, look how huge Hashem is. A different word for it?
Okay. I wanna choose the right.
Okay,
words.
Sure.
Awe.
Awe, exactly. Awe.
Grandeza, greatness.
Exactly. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not here again. A child could be afraid of a parent because the parent says, "If you don't do this, I'm going to punish you this and this." And another child has respect for the parent because they see, look what my father has built up. He's not a little boy. This is somebody who has tremendous means to to help me, or I could miss out on that help if chas v'shalom I don't show the proper respect and that kind of thing. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Torah tells us that when it comes to making teshuvah, teshuvah means that a person comes to a realization that either they were doing things that were not good, or they were doing things that were good but could be much better. And a person wants to correct. Teshuvah means to fix, to repair, to correct, to improve, to change. All of those words are different words under the term of teshuvah. The Torah tells us that there's two types. There's teshuvah mira, and there's teshuvah me'ahava. There's one level of teshuvah that I start learning Torah, and I hear that there's all kinds of penalties and punishments. It's not a free world. It's not that Hashem, we parachuted into this world, and everybody could do whatever they want. It's a free world. It's a free, you know, it's not, nothing's free. Hashem created us. He has given us our sight, our hearing, our this. He's given us billions of things. He has expectations. There are certain things he expects in return. He's a king. He's a king, and a king demands certain respect. He's a king, and he's also, to us, he's a father. And there are many pesukim in the Torah where they speak, there's a pasuk, Ki melech al kol goyim Hashem. Hashem is king over all nations. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that one time a goy came to a rabbi, and he said to him, you Jews, you say you're special, this, that, look what your Torah says. Hashem is king over all nations. So that it's not showing anything different about the Jews or anybody else. The rabbi said, you're right. But there are other places in the Torah where it says, to us, he's not just the king, he's our father. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu. And the law in the Torah is that a king, if somebody crosses a king, if somebody shows disrespect to a king, the king is not allowed to pardon in almost all cases. According to Torah, Melech Shemachal al Kvodo, Ein Kvodo Machul. If a king says, no, I forgive you, it's okay, it's not good. We know that Shaul HaMelech was punished and reprimanded because the Jews didn't show him the proper respect, and he didn't act on it, that kind of thing. A parent has the right to forego his kavod. A parent can say, you can sit here now, you can sit on my chair for now, or, you know, I forgive. That's why when we pray Selichot, all of our prayers, we say Avinu Malkeinu, meaning we know that even though you are a king to us, but to us, you have this quality that you can forgive. Now, we're told that there's two types of teshuvah, teshuvah mira, teshuvah me'ahava. Teshuvah mira is a person realizes the punishments and everything and decides, I better improve. I better, this isn't a joke. We're all going to be accountable. There's going to be an audit. There's an audit every night when I go to sleep. My soul goes up to heaven and gets audited. There's an audit once a year. Rosh Hashanah, Kippur. And then there's the audit when a person leaves the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a concept of teshuvah me'ahava, where a person's eyes are opened up to realize, look how lucky, look how blessed I am. And can I just take it for granted? Can I ignore that this is not all mine? I mean, just like I want, if I give my son a car, if I give my son he's supposed to say thank you. He's supposed to show appreciation, recognition. That's normal. It's healthy for him. Not that I need it. In order for him to be a healthy human being and to lead a good life and a proper life, part of that is being able to show recognition and appreciation for things that you need to. So certainly the creator of the world, who has put us in a world like this with such beautiful things and such good, delicious cold water, you know, all the things, certainly deserves recognition and respect and, you know, that kind of thing. That's tshuva me'ahava. We're told that tshuva me'ahava is a higher level than yir'ah. However, we're told that yir'at haromemut, there are some places in the Torah where it seems to show that yir'ah is a much lower level than ahava. There's other places where it seems to show that yir'ah is even higher. So the Zohar HaKadosh explains, you're right, there are two types of yirah. Yirat ha'onesh is lower than ahava. Yirat ha'romimut is a level above even. When a person is, wow, when a person realizes really how great and big Hashem is. And because of that, I want to be part of Him. I want to do everything I can to please Him, to get close to Him. That's even a higher level. Go ahead. Sure, sure.
The higher is Irat Haromemut.
Exactly.
Irat Haromemut. Irat
Ha'onesh.
Okay.
The Gemara tells us that when a person does teshuvah from Yirah, that can help erase all their sins. He has a minus in his account, minus 3 million. Hashem can erase it and say, forgiven, forgotten. Now you're at zero. You make a fresh start, new beginning. Tshuva me ahava, the Gemara says. Hashem says, you have a minus of 3 million. We're going to reverse the sign. We're going to make it a plus. It becomes a plus. To positive, to mitzvot. Which is an incredible, incredible thing. Because, go ahead. Because one of the things when a person makes teshuvah, the person says, but one second, what about the 20 years or the 30 years that I didn't know about Shabbat and I didn't know about, you know, so I'm starting off so far behind. How can I ever catch up? The answer is a person can catch up. If a person is ochet to do teshuvah from ahava, he can take all of those minuses and turn it into pluses, literally pluses. There's a pasuk that says that in the future, when the Mashiach comes, Bayom Hahu Yevukash Avon Yisrael, they're going to search for the sins of the Jewish people, Ve'enenu, and they're not going to find them. So one of the rabbis once asked, why are we going to search for it? If you don't see it, good, good. Why go looking for trouble? Why go? You understand? He said, no, because each sin is going to be a diamond. Each sin is going to be a $100 bill. It's going to be special because the teshuvah is going to be on such a level of ahava, of love, that it'll be converted to a mitzvah. So it can be another sin means another deposit in my account. It's another plus, that kind of thing. Now we come to Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkot.
One question.
Please.
What about Irat Haromemut? If we do...
That's even higher. It doesn't speak about it, but that's even higher. That includes the ahava and the Irat Ha'onesh. That's one of the reasons why we learn Torah in general, and especially like we were learning yesterday, when a person learns Kabbalah or deeper levels of Torah, it opens your eyes to say, wow, this is not, Hashem is not what I thought, He's not millions, He's billions, and He's much higher than that, you know, so much higher. I see that the Torah shows me that Hashem is so much greater. I mean, you have university, people study chemistry, science, all things which are good. It's intelligence, it's good. But I see that the Torah is a completely different level, you know, which means when we talk about Hashem's genius, it's a completely different level than anything we could imagine. Now, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, these are days of Teshuvah. We blow the shofar. There's a pasuk that says, Hayitaka shofar ba'ir va'am lo yecheradu. Could a shofar be blown in the city and the people will not tremble? So one of the things that the shofar is supposed to put into us is yirah, a blasting noise. You want to scare somebody, you scream sometimes. That's what the shofar represents. It represents yirah. Interesting, there's a pasuk that says, Aryeh shoeg mi lo yira. A lion roars, who's not afraid? Which person is not afraid when the lion roars? It's brought that the word Aryeh, which means lion, the Aleph is Elul, the Resh is Rosh Hashanah, the Yud is Yom Kippur, the He is Hoshana Rabbah. These are all the main days of Teshuvah. When again the lion is roaring, when we're supposed to be realizing this item of Yirah, we're all being judged. This is a time of judgment, and I want to try to really show Hashem that I want to improve, that I'm reviewing what I did the whole year, and I'm trying to see what can I do better, how can I be better next year, that kind of thing. It starts from the beginning of Elul, and it continues through Hoshana Rabbah.
Entonces.
The Aleph is Elul.
Elul.
Beresh, Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Yom Kippur. And the hay is Hoshana Rabbah. Now, listen to this interesting point. I was once walking with my rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld, who was my rabbi who I met when I was 16 years old, and we came to Israel here, and we were walking on Har Tzion, close by to here. And they, at that time, they had opened up the Diaspora Yeshiva, Yeshivat HaTfutzot, which is still here, on Har Tzion, a 10-minute walk from here. And this is in the 1970s, and hippies with long hair, and we were walking, my rabbi with four or five of his students, and we saw a rabbi coming towards us with 30 students, all long hair. His name was Rabbi Goldstein. He was the founder of the Diaspora Yeshiva. His son now is the Rosh Yeshiva, he passed away, coming towards us. And Rabbi Goldstein knew my rabbi, and he said to my rabbi, Shalom Aleichem, and he said to students, this is a close friend, and he says, Rabbi, tell them something. Tell these young men, these new recruits something. My rabbi thought for a second, and he said, okay, sure. He said that in our relationship with Hashem, there are two channels. There's Yirah and there's Ahava. There are many people that are into love. Love, love, house of love and prayer. Love, love, love. I love Hashem. I love that. Love, love. But the term respect and knowing boundaries, they don't know about that. They can still take drugs. They know all kinds of things. So he said to them, the word Yirah, Yud Resh Aleph Hey, is a natural progression into Ahava. The last half of the word Yirah, Aleph Hey, is the first letters of the word Ahava. That's why the Torah tells us Reshit Chokhmah Yirat Hashem. The beginning of Chokhmah. You want to start learning Torah, you want to start having a relationship with Hashem? Step one is Yirah. You need to know respect, you need to know boundaries. Hashem is not my buddy. He's not, you know, I speak to him. It's got to always be with a certain level of respect and, you know, that kind of thing. I come into a synagogue. I go to the Kotel. Can't come in my shorts. I'm not going to the beach. The beach is one thing. The Kotel, I'm going into a holy place. I need to have yirah, you know, a certain degree of respect. If a person has the right yirah, it's a natural lead, natural flow into ahava. Yud Resh Aleph Hey, Aleph Hey, Bet Hey. You see how it fits perfectly.
Okay.
And even in a relationship with people, a boy meets a girl, they fall in love. They can fall out one day, I feel it, next day I don't feel it. If there isn't a certain measure of respect in the relationship, that I respect her or she respects me because of A, B, C, D. Because I have a job, because I'm a person, I'm a human being. If it's just love, one day I like the ice cream, the next day I don't like ice cream, but you know, I don't like cherry vanilla. If it doesn't have that foundation of yirah, then it's the way the wind blows, right? And it's the same thing with parents and children. In recent years, there are people who took a philosophy that if I want my kid to like me and be good, I just have to give. And they don't know that it's a mistake. Love alone can't work. You need a combination of your ahava, respect. There are parents who want their children to call them by their first name. Joe. Hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. They don't understand that Hashem knows better. Hashem created the whole world. If he set up these boundaries, he's doing it for our good, for the good of the child, for the good, the relationship. And again, with parents, husband and wife, the respect that a husband has to have for a wife and the respect that, you know, both ways, each one, you know, this Yirah and Ahava. Now watch this. We have Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, which is Yirah, the shofar, the fasting and everything. Then comes Sukkot. Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu. Time of joy. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim which says, "Smolo tachat l'roshi." Hashem puts His left hand under my head, "V'yemino tichapkeni," and with His right hand He embraces me, He hugs me. So all the Sefarim write, "Smolo tachat l'roshi." The left hand—that's Rosh Hashanah, Kippur. That's the Yirah. V'yemino techakeni, Hashem embraces me with the right hand. That's the sukkah. When we go into the sukkah, we're going into the embrace. We're going into Hashem's embrace. That's what it really is. There are two mitzvot in the entire Torah which a person goes in with his whole body. Sukkah and mikveh. Mikveh, you go totally, I'm totally immersing myself in Hashem. I'm in Hashem's embrace. A beautiful progression. Rosh Hashanah is a time of judgment. The Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem opens up three books. A book of tzaddikim, a book of Beinonim, and a book of Rishayim. The Tzadikim and the Rishayim are judged, signed, and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. Everything is completed on Rosh Hashanah. The Beinonim, people who are in a gray area, Hashem gives them until Kippur to make Teshuvah, to get better, to choose. Do you want to be with the Tzadikim, or do you want to go the other way? Which way you want to go? That's the person's choosing for themselves. This is one of the reasons why in Europe there was a custom, I don't know if it was also in the Sephardic countries, many people on Rosh Hashanah would go to their rabbi, or they would go to a tzaddik to be with him for Rosh Hashanah, because the tzaddik is judged, him and his people, and his people. It's not just him alone. We know that there's a law in the Torah, terumah. Terumah is special food. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan, when a person would have a field, he would have crops, he would start harvesting. He had to take off 2% to give to the Kohen. That's holy. It's truma. You can only eat it when you're pure. There's all kinds of rules and regulations. The Kohen can eat truma. He can give it to his wife and his children. He can give it to his cow. He can give it to his animals to eat. He has a next door neighbor who's a Rosh Yeshiva, who's a big Talmid Chacham. He's a Levi, he's not a Kohen. If he eats teruma, he gets a death penalty from heaven, from the Misa Bidei Shamayim. You know, that's how big a violation. So the rabbi is right. This teaches us that it's the Kohen and anyone who's attached to him, they're allowed to eat teruma. They're in the same category. They go together. Noach, when he was saved from the flood, it says Noach was a tzaddik. Was his wife, was his children tzaddikim? Maybe yet. But him and his whole family, anyone who is together with him, they're included. So on Rosh Hashanah, the tzaddik and those that are with him, they're judged together. We have till Kippur, you know, to make teshuvah, to try to correct things. Now we come to Sukkot. Sukkot is ahava, love. Love, we're including everybody. On Sukkot we have the four minim, the lulav, the etrog, the adasim, and aravot, which we're told represent the four different types of people. The etrog is something that has smell and taste. The lulav comes from a date palm. It has taste. You can eat dates. No smell. Hadasim is something that has smell. You know what hadasim are? Smell. No taste. Nothing to eat. The aravot, no smell, no taste. It says this represents the four categories of Jews. Jews who have Torah and mitzvot, both. There are some Jews who spend time learning Torah, and they also do mitzvot. They give charity, chesed, this, that. That's the etrog, which combines both. There are some Jews who learn Torah. They're in kolel day, but they don't really do much mitzvot. Not chesed. Now he's learning for himself. He's growing. He's not really helping other people or strong in the area of mitzvot. There are some people who doing mitzvot, but they don't have any time for learning. They don't have a rabbi come to them before and after. And then there are people who are disconnected. No Torah, no mitzvot. On Sukkot, we show that we want to include everybody. We want to bring everybody in. They're all part of the Jewish community. They're all included. The word tzibur, tefillah betzibur, playing in a... The tzaddik stands for tzaddikim. The bet stands for benonim, in between. The resh stands for reshaim. When we talk about tefillah betzibur, we want to include all of them. We want everybody included. Tfilah betzibur. Tzadik is tzadikim. The bet is benonim. Benonim means in between, in the middle.
Reshaim.
We know that one of the most important sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash was the ktoret. Right? 11 spices. Now we know 10 is the magic number. 10 is the qualities of Hashem. 10 is a minyan. 11 means we're going down into the basement. We're going down into the basement. We're going underground. You know what basement means in English?
Going
down. 10 is the full spectrum of Kiddusha. 11, we're going down outside the Kiddusha. People that are not included in the ballpark of Kiddusha. One of the 11 spices was called Chelbena. And Chelbena, the Torah tells us, had a very bad smell, terrible odor to it. And yet, when you put it together with the 10, the whole thing gave a beautiful, delicious smell. The Gemara says, from here we learn that any prayer that does not include the prayers of the Rishayim, it's incomplete. It's not complete. So when we see somebody come into the shul, into the synagogue, and we know he's not really, he doesn't do that, we need to know, we need him. We need this guy. Because with him, he's going to make it complete. He's going to help the whole prayer go up together. And I'll tell you an unbelievable chidush. The Gemara says that everything in the Gemara, everything that happened, is found in the Chumash. The Chumash is our most basic books, right? The 5 books of the Chumash. Everything, the whole Talmud, the whole Halach, is all in the Chumash. So the Gemara says, where do we find Mordechai in the Torah? Mordechai at Tzadik. He was way after Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, if you look in these spices, the spices that were made for the Ketoret, and the oil, the special oil that they anointed all the Kelim in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash, one of them is called Mor Deror. A special kind of sweet Mor Deror.
The 5th one.
Exactly. Beautiful. Hatzari, Vatzipor, Echelban, Ravana, Mor Deror. Beautiful. Beautiful. The Targum on Mor Deror is Mordechai. Mordechai. So we see a mention of Mordechai in the Torah. Now, the Gemara says, where do we find Haman in the Torah? Where do we find Haman in the Torah? When Hashem first told Adam and Chava not to eat from the Eitz Hadaat, if you eat from this tree, you're going to die. When they ate from it, Hashem comes to them and he says, did you eat from that tree I told you? Hamin ha'etz. From the type of tree that I told you not to eat. Did you eat from that tree? Hamin. Hey, mem, nun, it's spelled. So we find Haman in the it's all in the Chumash. It's all in those 5 books. But there's another rabbi. I mentioned him yesterday. The Shelah HaKadosh. You remember?
Uh-huh.
He says, if Mordechai is in the Ketoret, then Haman has to be in the Ketoret also. But what do you mean? Haman is Amalek. Amalek is zero. Amalek is totally out. No good, complete evil and bad. But there's a Gemara that says that from the grandchildren of Haman taught Torah to the Jewish people in Bnei Brak. You hear this?
Yeah.
From the descendants of Haman came people. So the Shulchan Aruch says Haman is also in the Ketoret. The word Chelbena is Bigimatria Haman. To show us that even in the worst places, in the lowest places, there's a spark of good. There has to be something good there. If Hashem created it, there has to be some spark of good there, you know, to recognize this. So we said, during the 7 days of Sukkot, we take all 4 types to show that we want to include everybody. We want to bring everybody close. Now we come to Hoshana Rabbah. On Hoshana Rabbah, we also take all 4 types for a while, but then we put them down and we take the Hoshana itself, and we bang it 5 times. The Hoshana is Aravot. It's the same branch as Aravot. No taste, no smell, nothing. We take, and we use that by itself to show, look what happened here. The people who are furthest away from Hashem, no Torah, no mitzvot, they become like so special that we can do the mitzvah with them alone. Without the lulav, without the adhaz, they alone are an item of beauty. Before we thought that they're ugly, but if we include them in the whole thing, it becomes a nice package, a beautiful package. Now we take it a step further to show that they alone are an object of kedusha. You understand? They, by themselves alone, become a major object of kedusha. That's one example of this. And the second example of this is in the sukkah. a person builds a sukkah, what's the most important part of the sukkah? Think. Beautiful. What do you mean? The schach, the walls, I made the walls out of mahogany. The walls cost $50,000. The schach cost $30. You know, the schach is called psolet. In the Torah, it calls it psolet. It's the waste man. You don't use wheat or grain. You use the junk, the chaff, the stuff you throw away, sort of. That's what we use to make schach from. And where is it? It's on top of us. It's a crown on our head. When a person makes teshuvah, the schach is psolet, it's garbage. It's the people that that have nothing, no Torah, no mitzvot. When they get included in the kiddushah, they become like a crown on our head. They become the top. They go to the top. Just like it says, "Bemakom shebali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholam lamod." The level of closeness, the love that Hashem feels towards a bal teshuvah, a complete tzaddik can't get there. Like, it's a certain incredible closeness to Hashem. Because again, by them, there's usually a level of ahava that comes out. A bal teshuvah, I remember my rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld, once told us that he had a student, a Syrian Jew in New York, New Jersey, who started becoming religious. And when he heard about tefillin, and he heard that how special this is like a crown, he said to the rabbi, "I want you to buy me tefillin, 24 karat gold. I want the best. I don't care how much it costs." The rabbi looked and he wanted to cry. Imagine Hashem hearing these words. Imagine Hashem hearing this person loves Hashem. He hears about a mitzvah that's special. He says, "I want to do it. I want the nicest one in the world." That kind of thing. That's a certain level that a person comes through this process of yirah, leading into ahava, leading into this yirat haromot, where I love Hashem so much, there's nothing in the world that I wouldn't want to do for him. You know, that kind of thing. The best, the best. I was just talking to a friend of mine that lives also in New Jersey, and his son was getting bar mitzvah, and he wanted me to get tefillin for him here in Israel. I said, "Great, I know it's so fair, good at everything." He says, "And I'm thinking, maybe, by the way, if I'm getting ready to fill in for him, and right now he's not doing so great financially, he's not, you know," he says, "maybe I should get fill in for me too, maybe while I'm at it, you know." So I said, "You know what, send me a picture of your, because he wants to know how to make the knot, send me a picture." He sends it to me, I have it on my phone. The straps were like falling apart, really, you know, I saw it was really poor condition, and he didn't know. So I said, "Great idea." So he said, "How much does it cost?" So I called the sofer. He said, "The parshiot cost so much, and the boxes, there's two levels. One level is this. Good, very good boxes are so much. The best is so much." He says to me, "I buy so many other things. I'm buying tefillin. Give me the best. You know, big deal. It wasn't, you know, it was $200-$300 more. Give me the best, you know." And again, a person showing an attitude of respect for Hashem, respect for Kiddushah, that when it comes to this, I want to do it. If I'm doing it, I'm going to do it right. You know, that kind of thing. This is the progression that we're going through that started from Elul. We said the Yir'ah, the Shofar, the Selichot, all about a certain level of awe, leading into Rosh Hashanah, leading into Kippur. Now, even on very important, even on Rosh Hashanah, there's a pasuk that the prophet Ezra and Nehemiah, during their time, when they spoke to the Jewish people after the prayer on Rosh Hashanah, they said, "Go home now, ichlu mashmanim, go home and eat fatty meat, ushtu mamtakim, and drink sweet drinks." And something else towards Hashem, "Ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem." Because joy with Hashem, that's your strength, that's your power. I mean, even on Rosh Hashanah, we're not depressed. We're not sad. We're not angry. We're not strict. We're serious. There's an element of seriousness of Yirah, but it's always combined with Ahava. It always has that element of Ahava in it also. It's just that Rosh Hashanah Kippur leans a little bit in this direction. When we go to Sukkot, it's joy and happiness, super joy and happiness. And now after Hoshana Rabbah, we show that the ones that had no taste and no smell, they stand alone as a beautiful thing. Then we come to Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah is the one day of the year that we invite everybody to the Torah. Everybody gets, you have that custom also,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we showing? Everybody's in. Everybody's included. No one is left out. That kind of attitude. That's the real purpose of this. What is the purpose of Teshuvah? What's the purpose of Rosh Hashanah Kippur? Is it all about that we're very religious and there's those bad guys who are not religious? It's us and them. That's not what it's all about. What Hashem really wants is that we are all family. He wants us to work towards that goal. There's a process. It doesn't happen in one day. There's a process. It starts with respect. It starts with Elul Rosh Hashanah, and it builds. Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch says that when a person is leaving, we're fasting, we're really serious. When a person is leaving on the shul on Kippur, he should put on a big smile, happy. I'm confident that Hashem has accepted our prayers and Hashem is going to bless us with a good year, that things are going to be good. That's the attitude that a person is supposed to leave at the end of Kippur. And it says some people have a custom that on the night after Kippur, they start doing something to build the sukkah. That I'm starting Zman Simchatenu right now already. We finished Kippur. Now break out the music. Simchat Torah, the singing and the dancing and everything. That's this incredible display of ahava, you know, that comes at that time. Now, how does a person learn this Yir'ah and ahava? Where do you get it from? You know, it's a whole limud. The answer is this again is one of the reasons why we need to come close to tzaddikim. They're the ones who understand this the most. They're the ones who understand how Hashem operates, how Hashem works. They're the ones who have this incredible combination of yirah, tremendous respect and awe for Hashem, and at the same time, a deep love. And they're the ones who know how to make it fit perfectly, how to combine both, not too much. The Torah says that when Hashem gave us the Torah, and when a rabbi teaches Torah, it's like a woman nursing her child. The Torah is compared to milk. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Dvash v'chalav tachat l'shonech. Honey and milk under your tongue. The Torah is compared to honey, something very sweet, and milk. So a woman, when she nurses her child, nurses from the breasts, which are called shadayim. Shadayim. That's the Hebrew word for the breasts. Shadayim. Shin dalet yud mem. So the rabbi is right that the word shadayim is smol docher yemin mekarev. With the left hand, I'm pushing away. With the right hand, I'm bringing close. You hear this?
Uh-huh.
Yir'ah, ahava, the combination of both. The left hand is the weaker hand. The right hand is the stronger hand. The Torah says if a person, chas v'shalom, ever has to hit a child or son, never with the right hand. The left hand, the weaker hand. You never give a full punch, chas v'shalom, to a child or a student. With the left hand pushing away, keeping a certain respectful distance, and with the right hand bringing close, the ahava. This is the yir'ah, this is the ahava. The tzaddikim are like the mother of the Jewish people. They're compared to the mother of the Jewish people. That's how they raise us, you know. They nurse us with this milk, the milk of Torah, and they do it with this. They know exactly when a rabbi knows when to tell a student, not now, you know, that kind of thing. And at the same time, to bring close in a tremendous way. Smol means the left hand.
Uh-huh.
Doche means pushing away.
Oh.
Pushes. Chet. Dalet vav chet he. Doche. The yud is yemin, the right hand, mekarev, brings close.
Doches,
push away.
Push away.
Exactly.
Alecha.
Doche means to push away.
Hola.
Hi. Beautiful. Should have a lot of nachat. Now listen to something interesting. Children, small children, sometimes parents go away, the child is sad. When the mother's not around, the mother gives it to a babysitter, to a nanny, the child is sitting on the floor, the mother comes in, right away the baby jumps up, comes running to the mother happy. He forgets the sadness completely. Very, very happy. That kind of thing. That's one example. There's another example. A child is playing with toys. They go to a playgroup. They're playing with toys, and it's interesting this, that. It's 4 o'clock. It's time for mommy to come pick up the child. 99% of the time, even though the child loves the toys, they like it. They see mommy. There's no toys. There's no nothing. They go running to mommy. Rabbi Nachman explains, this is what a tzaddik can do to help a person. We struggle with two major, major issues. One of them is depression. Depression, sadness, down, all kinds of down things. And the second one is ta'avot, toys. All kinds of distractions. People have all kinds of ta'avot, ta'avat achila. People like to eat too much where it hurts them. Ta'avat nashim, women, all kinds of different ta'avot ra'ot. He says that tzaddik is the mother of the Jewish people. When the child sees the mother, they lose the depression, they lose the sadness, they become happy, they're smiling, and everything. The mother picks them up and hugs them. They forget all the sadness, all of that. And also, if a person who's immersed in ta'avot, he's involved, he's tied to it. The person, how am I ever going to get a person who's addicted to smoking? Or eating. People who eat. How do I break it? By coming close to tzaddikim, they are the mothers of the Jewish people. They can help a person disconnect from the sadness and the depression and disconnect from all the ta'avot ra'ot and midot ra'ot.
When you say come close to tzaddikim, rabbis or...
Yes, usually, generally, it's people who are both a combination of a person who knows the Torah well and fulfills the Torah. It's both things, a combination of both. Now we know, for example, the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The first Mishnah, Pirkei Avot is like the choice sentence. Moshe gave the Torah to Yeshua. Then it says, the world stands on three pillars. There are three... Exactly. Torah is very, very special. Avodah means Tefillah. And Gemilut Chasadim. Gemilut Chasadim means performing acts of... There's three major areas. There are a lot of people who are very strong here. Today, unfortunately, you can go to many yeshivot where they learn Torah very, very strong. When it comes to tefillah, they don't take it that serious. Some people are afraid that it's taking away time from Torah. So they want to daven quickly. They're looking for a quicker minyan and a quicker minyan and a quicker... They don't know. There are some people who love tefillah, but they don't understand how important it is. There's a pasuk, Mesir Ozno Mishmoa Torah, a person who turns his ear away from listening to Torah, his tefillah is Gam tefillato to'eva. His tefillah is disgusting. Because Hashem says, this is my joy. This is the thing I love most. If you don't show respect, if you don't care about, if this isn't important to you, then you're not important to me. So the Torah, that's why it's so special when a person learns Torah before praying or after praying. That takes the prayer to a completely different level. I mentioned it the first day we got together, that the Torah is called Ya'alat Chen. It puts a charm, a grace on the person. When a person learns Torah the right way, that Hashem wants to hear what that person has to say. You understand? I gave the example. Person's in his office and he sees somebody coming to see him and he takes one look at the guy and he tells the receptionist, tell him I'm not here. Tell him I'm in China. I don't care. I don't want to see him. Period. Why? Because just looking at the person, it's not somebody I want to meet. And then sometimes you see another person. It says Queen Esther. Vatihi Esther noset chen be'enei kol roeha. She had this quality of grace, this chen, charm, where anybody that looked at her, wow, I want to see her. I want her. They had a beauty pageant, Miss Universe. They had a woman from Mexico. They had a woman from South America. And we know that in each country, there's a different look that's looked at as beautiful. In America, let's say, they want a woman who's very thin. But, you know, in another country, that's ugly. That's ugly. That chen is a quality that's universal. That everybody loves that. This person has something that everybody loves. The Torah puts a chen on a person. That's number one. And at the same time, a person who learns Torah and doesn't pray, the Torah is called medicine and poison. There's a pasuk, this is the Torah, Vezot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Israel. This is the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu put in front of the Jews. Sam. The word sam in Hebrew means to put. The word sam means medicine. And the word sam means poison. The Gemara says that the Torah can be a medicine and the Torah can be a poison. If a person learns the Torah the right way, it gives them good midot. It gives them, person learns Torah the wrong way, it can teach him how to cheat and how to swindle, how to trick people, how to be arrogant. There are people who learn Torah and they look at another person like they're no, who are you? You're nothing. You know, that kind of thing. So in order to learn Torah, a person has to pray to Hashem, Hashem, help me to learn the Torah the right way. That the Torah should improve me. It should make me a better person, a better husband, a better father, a better human being, a better everything. Not chas v'shalom the other way. That I should get arrogant. Because I'm learning Torah, I should think I should be arrogant. I can't talk to anybody, or nobody can talk to me. You, who are you to talk to me? You know who I am? You know who I am? Yeah, chas v'shalom. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's this perfect combination. When Hashem created the world, He put two lanterns, the sun and the moon. The Torah is compared to the sun. The moon is, the tefillah is compared to the moon. These are two things that both light up the world. They're called Shnei Me'orot HaGedolim, the two great lanterns. The first letters of Shnei Me'orot HaGedolim spell the word Moshe. Moshe, Moshe. The tzaddik is the combination of both. He's strong in Torah and he's strong in tefillah. He has both strengths, each one feeding on, and he knows that you need both. Either one without the other one is incomplete. That kind of thing. And then the cherry on top is chesed. The cherry on top is gemilut chasadim. There's a pasuk in Eshet Chayil. It says, V'torat chesed aleshona. That the woman of valor has a Torah of chesed on her lips. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Is there a Torah of chesed, a Torah of not chesed? Yes. Torah of chesed is when a person learns in order to share it with other people. I can't wait to tell this to my wife. I can't wait to tell this to my kids. I can't wait to tell it to my friend who would love to hear a Dvar Torah. He's looking to share his Torah, not to keep it for himself. Said, I know more than you. He loves, he enjoys sharing it. That's called Torat Chesed, a form of Torat Chesed. The Gemara says that there was King Shaul HaMelech and there was David HaMelech, both giants. Shaul HaMelech, the halakha was not like him. David HaMelech, the halakha was like him. Why? Because it says David HaMelech was Torat Chesed. By him, he tried to do anything he could to share his Torah, his whatever good he had, to try to share it with other people.
Zaku Baruch
Hashem.
Very nice, Baruch
Hashem. Great.
Thank you very much. Sure.